Dear Heavenly Father, we are so grateful that once again we have this opportunity to hear your word, to hear the Holy Spirit speaking to us, O Lord, through your word. I pray that you will give us the listening ear. You will give us, Father, the understanding so that we will really appreciate more and live by your, according to your word, Father God, your grace to us every day. We glorify your name, O God. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's open our Bible to Colossians 1, 3 to 8. Colossians 1, 3 to 8. I'll be reading in New King James Version, but if the verses will be there, even if it's a ESV or other version, that's okay. Colossians 3:1-8. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all saints, because the hope laid up for you in heaven. Of this you have heard before in the word of the truth, the gospel, which has come to you as indeed in the whole world as it is bearing fruit and increasing, as it also does among you since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth. Just as you learned it from Epaphras is the same as Epaphroditus, our beloved fellow servant. He is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf and has made known to us your love in the Spirit. God bless the reading of his word. To give you a short background, this letter to the Colossians was written by Apostle Paul while he was in prison. And this part of what we read is a thanksgiving or a greeting, a prayer of Paul to the Colossians. He has not visited the Colossians church yet because it was not Paul who planted the church in Colossae. But he acknowledged that because he heard something about the church, just like when we heard something about our missions work in Malawi, in Taisan, we are so blessed that they are continuing in the faith, that they are doing the work of God. So the same thing here with Paul. So, and he acknowledged that Epaphras, even though it's not Paul who planted this church, or it was not him who used by God to start the church, he acknowledged that Epaphroditus is his fellow servant and is a faithful servant, a faithful minister of the gospel. So it's a good thing that we acknowledge or we know what the Lord is doing in other parts of the world, what the Lord is doing in other churches, or what the Lord is doing even in our church. And this is a good thing, so that we can really know that God is not only working in our midst. God is working in everywhere, because God is the God who loves to bring people into Himself. If we will look at verse 6 there, it says that which has come to you indeed in the whole world, that it is bearing fruit and increasing, as it also does among you since the day you heard it and understood mean in some translation knew the grace of God in truth. What he was saying is, Colossians, I heard your faith in Christ and your love for all saints. So there were changes happened to the lives of the people in Colossae when they heard the word of God. their faith, their love, and their hope laid up for you in heaven. That's what Paul said. And when did it start? It started when they heard. They heard it from Epaphroditus, the one who taught them. And they understood. What did they understand? They understood the grace of God in truth. So it's so important that we understand what is the grace of God. And it is based on the truth of God. The grace of God. The grace of God that carry them. So, I would like us to look at ourselves this time. Am I really, what is it like to truly understand or understood the grace of God? What is it like? So many people or Christians say, I know God's grace, God's grace is sufficient. God's grace is abundant. But how would you really appreciate, or how will you live, or live your life according to God's grace? Or in other words, if you live your life according to God's grace, that means you understand the power and the depth and why of God's grace into your life. We know simply, if it's grace, that means you receive unmerited or undeserved favor from God. If it's grace, even us, if someone said, oh, he gave me grace. Like, for example, in school, the paperwork should be given or submitted today. But the teacher gave grace. Okay, you can submit it the following week. It should not be given to you, but because there is a grace that's given, you were given favor. You don't deserve it. Maybe because you did not immediately do your homework, you did some other works, but because the teacher wants you to pass the exam, pass the class, okay, I'll give you grace. And grace is called charis, grace and kindness. And when we mention about grace, we cannot separate it from mercy. Every time when Paul says something, grace and mercy. Because mercy, unlike the grace, it is not receiving what you deserve, like the punishment. So it is kind of almost opposite. Grace is receiving what is not you don't deserve, or unmerited favor, and mercy is not receiving. The one is receiving the favor, mercy is not receiving the punishment. So these are two blessings, great blessings that are offered by God to all the people. To all the people, but not everyone is receiving grace and mercy. Aside from the what we call common grace. The common grace is like our life. Everyone, we are here, we are alive. That's the grace of God. Or we are enjoying the beautiful nature. Just it's almost over now. The yellow leaves and the different colors of leaves. That's grace of God. And even the provision, the resources, that's the common grace. But I would like us to focus on the grace that God is giving us because of His big heart, because of His love for us. Grace and mercy are expressed to us because of His love. In short, love. Grace and mercy is an expression of God's love. Praise the Lord. So, and grace is not just an expression of God's love. It's the character of God. Grace is the character of God. He is gracious. If you look at Exodus 34:6, If we will go to Exodus 34:6, it says, it expressed there, even in the life of Israelites, they received or experienced God's grace. It says there, and the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God is merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth. So even the Israelites or the people in the Old Testament, they live according to the law later. They experience God's grace, because if it is not by God's grace, they could have been dead by the time that they did by the first time that they disobeyed. So, but God's grace is so wide. He is God. Our God is so gracious, long suffering. And in Nehemiah 9:17, I will read it there. Nehemiah 9:17. It says there, they refused to obey. This is the Israelites when they were they were exiled, and they have even were able to go back to Jerusalem. But in their days, in the days of Israelites, there will come a time that they will obey God, and then when God dealt with them, they will come back, and they will come and go, come and do again, disobey again the word of God. And in 17, says there, Nehemiah said, they refused to obey God, and they were not mindful of your wonders. They have experienced the wonders of God. What happened to the in Exodus? They heard it, that it happened when they their fathers experienced it. That they did not, they did among them, but they hardened their necks. And in their rebellion, they appointed a leader to turn to their bondage. But you are God, ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger.
Thank you, God.
I'm so blessed that I really appreciate that our God, God is not like me, because, or maybe not like you. Not like some of us, or most of us, or maybe I can say all of us. Because there are times that we are patient, but there are times that we are not. We immediately, if someone did something wrong to us, immediately, okay, it's fine. He's no longer included in my circle of friends. But God is so compassionate. And
thank you, God.
Ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, is slow to anger, abundant in kindness, and did not forsake them. Mm-hmm. He did not forsake the people of God. He gave them grace. He was so merciful to them, giving them opportunity to come back to Him again and again.
Yes, God.
I don't know about you, but in my life, I did something wrong, and sometimes I believe not acceptable to men, but to God, it's also not acceptable. But when I come to back to God, I can feel the cleansing power of God in my life.
Jesus.
Amen.
Yeah.
So all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, but God, in His mercy, He cleansed us and pardoned us. And never forsake us. Anybody who comes back to God, who comes to God, and comes back to God, like for example, if we sin again, comes back to God, He will never forsake you. He will never, never forsake you.
Thank you, God.
So, men of God in the Old Testament knew and experienced God's grace in their lives. And the difference is the response. Mm-hmm. I want us to see the two kinds of responses here, and I will. So many men of God in the Bible who experienced God's grace, who experienced God's love, who experienced the dealing of God. But I would love to give you two examples here. Jonah. Do you know Jonah? You remember Jonah?
Mm-hmm.
If you heard Jonah, what comes to your mind?
Fish.
Pastor said fish. Big fish. Jonah was sent by God to evangelize Nineveh. He did not go for the first time. He went to other place. So God dealt with him. He did not kill Jonah immediately. Maybe if you are God, maybe, okay, you are disobedient, you did not obey my word. It was so clear that I am sending you to Nineveh. But God, there was a fish there. God gave a lesson to Jonah. And then, the lesson learned, finally Jonah obeyed God. But you know what? When he obeyed God, the purpose of God is so that the grace of God be experienced by the enemies of the Israelites, and that they will come to know the God of Israel, and that they will humble themselves, they will turn their back from other gods. But you know what? I would like us to go to Jonah 4, 1 to 4. Jonah 4, 1 to 4. Okay. It says there, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he became angry. It's because the Nineveh turned their God. They changed their ways. So he prayed to the Lord and said, "Ah, Lord, was not this that I said what I was still in my country? When I have not preached the word of God, the saving power of God to the Nineveh, I knew that they will repent. But Jonah didn't want them to repent. Why? Because in Jonah's mind, he is patriotic. Those are enemies of Israelites. Why should I preach them? Why would I want them to repent?" But patriotism is more important to him than seeing the people, the enemies of the Israelites, repenting. But God's grace, here it is, God's grace granted the enemies of Israelites to repent. "Therefore, I fled," he is saying, "this is why I fled to Tarsus, for I know that you are gracious and merciful God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm." So God's grace was experienced by the enemies of Israelites. But you know what? Jonah never realized that it is God's grace who also kept God from dealing with Jonah severely. It is God's grace who gave him like the chance to obey God. So it is so good. And the other thing is David. In 1 Chronicles 21:8, 1 Chronicles 21:8, King should not suppose, David should not suppose to count or have a survey among the people or how many people are there. But David gave an order to survey the people. How many people are there? How many soldiers he had that time? But he continued to give the order. And Joab, even though he knew that it is not God's will that the Israelites be numbered, he obeyed God. He obeyed the king. And it says there in 21 Chronicles. Chronicles 21:8. It says there. "So David said to God, 'I have sinned greatly.'" So you see the difference of the response to God's grace. David expressed his repentance. David said, I have sinned greatly because I have done this thing, but now I pray, take away the iniquity of your servant, for I have done very foolishly. When we disobey God, we are under the grace of God to be pardoned. And if we look at the following verses, David was given three choices. One year, it says there, either 3 years of famine or 3 months to be defeated by your enemies through the sword, or for 3 days of the sword and the plague in the land, and David said, I am in great distress. Please let me fall in the hand of the Lord. So instead of experiencing the 3 years of famine and the 3 months of defeated by the enemy, that means he would be under the punishment of the man. He said, I want to be under God because he knows that his God is gracious. Mm-hmm. He knows that his God will not just punish him.
Yes.
Everything that God does is for his benefit, for his correction, for the good of him and even for the people.
Yes.
So if we understand that God's grace is sufficient, and whatever God does, even if he will let us suffer, still the grace of God is there. The grace of God will carry us through. God will never forsake us. So, I want us to understand that whatever happens, as long as we come back to God, God's grace will cover us. God's grace is sufficient. And the ultimate expression of God's grace, I have mentioned this earlier, is in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith.
Amen.
And it is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. It is the grace of God. Mm-hmm. You know what? I realized that grace of God is equivalent to the blood of God.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? Because it's the grace of God that he walked through the path to Calvary, and he was put on the cross bleeding, and the blood of Jesus covered the penalty of our sins, because the wages of sin is death. Amen. So we are covered by the blood of Jesus. The grace of God covered us, and grace also equals salvation. Grace of God that comes from Jesus gives us salvation. So I would ask you, do you treasure your salvation? Or have you experienced the saving grace of God? If so, then you are walking as a child of God. But as a child of God, after experiencing the saving grace of God, what else do you experience? Do you still experience the sanctification, the sanctification of God, which brings growth to our lives? And its sanctification is also grace of God.
Mm-hmm.
Even the time that we are able to serve God, it is the grace of God.
Mm.
So, even to sustain us in every adversary or suffering that we are experiencing, it's a grace of God. You would say, I wonder why this person, so much happened to his life, and still can smile, can worship God, can praise God.
Mm-hmm.
You know why? The difference is the grace of God.
Jesus.
The
Thank
difference
God.
Is the power of God in the life of a
Thank
person.
Jesus.
So, God's grace, even the time that we sin, he delays judgment, giving us ample time to repent.
Mm.
But tomorrow is not guaranteed. You know what? We are here because God has a purpose for us. God has still, the grace is sufficient for us to do his work. And the grace is sufficient for the unbeliever so that they can receive and believe our God, our Jesus the Savior. But how can they believe if no one will preach? How can they believe if no one will go? And who are the people who should go? Isn't it that the people who has the grace of God, who has experienced the salvation of God? So, my brethren, my brothers and sisters, we have the command to go. God has command for us to go. To go and preach the gospel. To go and share the word of God. To go and share the gospel of salvation. Because there is power in the gospel.
Jesus.
The grace of God is with us to be able to do that. The grace of God wants to save the lost souls. And what should be our response? We can accept, recognize it humbly, that we cannot, everything that we do is only by God's grace. If some people, especially those who do not really believe in God, they can say, I did this, I did that.
Yes.
This is possible because it is me who did it. Even Nebuchadnezzar, even how glorious he was, how powerful he was, because when God said it's time for him to die, money cannot save him, the power cannot save him, the kingdom cannot save him, even those, the magicians cannot save him.
Mm-hmm.
The power of God, the power of the word of God is the thing that we have, something that we have to acknowledge and something that we have to recognize. Let's accept grace with gratefulness, the grace of God. And let's not take the grace of God for granted. Let's not take the grace of God for granted. Because if we truly understand the grace of God, every day, the moment that we open our eyes in the morning, you know that you are awake, you are alive. And you are alive because of the grace of God.
Amen. Hallelujah.
And hallelujah. The grace of God will carry you throughout the day and the next morning. When God said, you are a graduate, my child, I want to take you home. What a wonderful day it will be. Amen.
Amen.
So, but while we are here, let's take seriously the grace of God and let's grow. Grow in the knowledge and in the grace of God. God's grace is expressed through us. God's grace is expressed through us. You know what? If you have children, if you have family members, if you have friends who have not yet known Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior, and their walk is not according to the Word of God, do you know what is clear? You are the expression of God's grace to their lives.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Let's not be silent. Let's express, let's declare the God's grace into their lives, to others' lives, because you experience it. And we can do it through our word and through our works.
Amen.
So, we end this. God is so gracious for us. The gospel is God's grace for the people.
Mm-hmm.
God's word is God's grace for the people.
Yes.
To really see the purpose of God.
Thank you, God. The plan of God to
mankind. The challenge is, can you confidently say, I have experienced God's grace. I knew and I understand God's grace. And I am taking it seriously. And I live every day by God's grace. And because of that, I cherish. When God forgave me, I don't take it so lightly. It is God's gift. And so, I cherish it. And I cherish it by the way I live for Jesus.
Yes.
I live for Jesus.
Thank you, God.
Thank you, God. So, we can offer our lives as a sweet aroma to God.
Yes.
Bring our life to Jesus as an offering of worship to Him. Let's come back to worship and let's stand up and sing that song again. I bring an offering of worship to our King. God's grace is with us today. God's grace is sufficient. And God's grace is given to us to be able to share to others.
Church, as we conclude our worship for today, in the words of our Lord God, He says unto you, I have put my words in thy mouth, and I have covered thee in the shadow of my hand. Thou art my people. As we go forth from this day of worship, know that His grace will abide with you forever. And His eye is upon you. May you be a mighty testimony of the grace of God. As we bow our heads in prayer today, I've noticed that our sister Mary Allison was able to gather with us online today, and we want to go before the Lord God and continue to pray that His grace will shine upon her in her time of need also. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Father God, we thank You, Lord God, for Your grace and Your mercy. Oh God, for Your abundance of overflow of love for us, Lord God. Nothing can compare, oh Father, to that which You have ordained in our relationship with You. Father God, we thank You, Father, for the greatness of Your love for us. Now, Lord God, I give a special prayer today, Lord God, for our sister Allison, Lord. Lord God, continue to strengthen her body and let Your grace be poured out. Let her be a mighty testimony of that which You have given unto her. Father God, we ask You now, Lord God, as Your people, as we go forth, Lord God, to our respective homes, to our families, and to our communities, Lord God, whatever our appointments are for this week, Lord God, we ask, Lord God, let Your word, Lord God, that You have planted within our heart today, Lord God, let it be a mighty testimony unto all who know us. These things we ask and we pray in the precious and holy name of Jesus. And all the church says, amen. May God bless you and keep you.